Welcome to Loco, a weekly conversation celebrating the stories of unconventional yet phenomenal single women expats. Today I speak with Johanna Sistrup, an American living in Wuxi, China. We talk about her move and the Georgia O'Keeffe quote that inspired her to live a life of Jamoxi. Welcome, Johanna Jamoxi. It's a pleasure having you here. I'm so thankful that you were able to join me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming. So I guess we'll just get right into it. If you could just tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from, and what inspired your move?
Okay, well, that's a loaded question. I can talk all day on that. But basically, I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I've been living in Atlanta for almost 20 years. And I am the type of person that have been working a job that pays the bills. I have 2 degrees, but I could not find the position that is equivalent to my degrees. So people will call me a person that is underemployed. And so I've been doing that for like 10 years. And after I got my divorce, I wanted to really like my life. I realized that I didn't like it. And I even was, sometimes I would be sad or whatever. And I went to church one day and I went to this nun and I told this nun, like, I don't even know why God made me. And the nun looked at me and she shook my arm. Just like, God don't make junk. God don't make junk. And ever since then, of course I believed it, but she could not tell me what was my purpose. And so I had to, you know, realize that, yes, I am priceless, and that if I want to have a happier life, I have to change something. And I realized I have to change myself. So, you know, I did all the things that people do. They go in the mirror, they talk to themselves, and they dig deep inside. And I realized that that I have this knack of traveling is my thing. Because ever since I was a little girl, my parents, who were of working class, would take all of their children and travel around the United States in a camper. And we were pretty poor. My dad was a janitor and my mom worked at the post office, and they had 6 kids. And there were times where we had to eat beans and rice or be given the government package. I don't know if you ever heard of this. I don't know how young you are, but where you have those government blocks, the cheese blocks, the government. Yeah, we had those. But my father, my mom managed to save up a lot, enough money to buy a camper and take all their children around the United States. And ever since then, it stuck with me. I love to meet people from different backgrounds, from different cultures, and different way of living. And I remember that's when I was really happy. So I got the nerve and I quit my job of real estate.
Okay.
And I moved to China. Yeah, that's where I am now.
We're in China.
I am about 2 hours away from Shanghai, 2 hours by bullet train from Shanghai, in a small town called Wuxi. It's small in China, but it's pretty big. According to American standards, it's 6 million people. But in China, that's small.
So you said you're underemployed. If you're underemployed and you're doing real estate, what were your degrees in?
Okay, so my bachelor is in business economics and my master's degree is in economics. And so I wanted to get into a field where I can be an economist. Yeah, jobs like that, but it got cut short or they didn't finish the hiring process or things of that sort. So I found a local government job as an appraiser for a county in Georgia.
Okay.
And so their requirement is not for you to, actually, you don't even have to have a degree. If you have some experience in real estate, then you can get employed. So I was underemployed.
Okay. So you're in China, and what exactly you're doing in China?
Okay, so since I'm not the richest person yet, I realized checking online that I can make a living as a ESL teacher. So I would teach English as a secondary language to Chinese students. And it's a big market. And actually in China, I think it's one of the second largest market in teaching. The first, I would say, it will be the Middle East. China actually pays pretty decently for teachers, and they have a shortage. So I got the opportunity, anyone can have this opportunity to interview for jobs. Like I interviewed for hundreds and hundreds. I think I probably had 80 interviews before I got to China. And it makes you feel good. Because if, in America, when you try to find a job, it's hard. As a ESL teacher, they are knocking down your door and it feels good. It feels so good to be wanted. Yes.
Nice. Okay, speaking of that, I did catch one of your YouTube videos about that whole process of getting there and then having to renegotiate your contract or your terms or the classes you teach, something like that.
Yes, they kind of set me up for the okey doke. So you have to be prudent and just read through your contract. And even though your contract says one thing, once you leave the USA and go to any country, actually, they can flip the script on you. So that's what China did. But it wasn't a really bad flip. But my impression was to be an oral English teacher, which means you get in front of the class and you get the students to speak English. Okay? It's not a real teacher job. I was looking for something easy to do so I can play around, figure out what I'm gonna do, my next step in exploring the world. But no, this particular school looked at my resume and they saw over 10 years of experience in real estate and all these degrees. So they said, hey, no, you're not going to do oral English. You're going to teach business classes. And it's going to be one class is going to be real estate. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? So actually, I'm a real teacher. Actually, I am a professor. Yes, that's crazy. I'm thinking I'm going to play around and, have fun. I'm creating lesson plans, PowerPoints, grading papers. I'm doing a real deal. And students are calling me Professor Johanna.
Wow. So how does that work when you are, do they apply for like your visa? They set all that up for you. Did you have to participate in that in any way, or was it set up for you?
It's a 50-50, partnership, I guess you can call it. There's things that you have to do in the United States, and then there's things that they have to do in their own country. So I had to go to the Chinese embassy in America and get documents that they required. For instance, I had to get copies of my diplomas and criminal background, and I had to give it to the embassy of China where they have to authenticate it. So that cost around $200 or so. And once I do that, the school will actually reimburse my fees once I get into China. So once I arrive into China, then the school will have to get a working permit and a working visa for you. And so, of course, they take care of all of that. But you have your end to do, and they have theirs. And that's how that worked out. And also, you have to get like a medical checkup too, because they don't want, anyone that has like a disease that they feel that will be detrimental for their nation or whatnot, or if you're just not fit to teach.
Okay, so you
In
have to
their
have a physical to meet their standard.
right, exactly.
Okay. So, another thing, I was impressed by this video that I saw where you were applying for a job in I would assume social media, but I'll let you explain it. And the thing that I was most impressed by was your smile, your energy, And you seem to have a zest for life that's, it's easy, yet it's vibrant. You know, it's like easygoing, but there's this underlying vibrancy that I saw in that video. And when I saw your name, Ja Moxie, I said, oh, she's making a point, because the Moxie is capitalized. It's one word, but it's Ja and then Moxie, Moxie being capitalized. So it signified that Moxie has some importance for you. Now, if you could give us a little bit more about Moxie and your mantra that's driven by that Georgia O'Keeffe quote. If you could just share the quote with us and give us a bit more about it.
Okay. So remember I told you that I'm underemployed and I could not find a job that pretty much matched my degrees. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that if I just, you know, take it easy and just let life happen to me, then I will actually run into something that will inspire me to pursue it. Mm-hmm. And so on Facebook, I had a friend, she decided to go after her dream of being a poet. And she wrote this quote by this artist named Georgia O'Keeffe. She's a painter. And Georgia says, you can't be nice about life. You gotta have nerve. Mm. And it stuck to me because I think I was just being nice about life. And what that meant is that you just can't just go through life aimlessly. Dig deep and find out what you really enjoy and go for them. It doesn't necessarily have to be a career goal. You may be happy where you are or what you're doing, but just go after something that you really wanted to do. It could be one little thing or maybe a couple of things. Go after it. Have audacity to go after what you want. Have that courage. And so that stuck with me. And so at first I was like, oh, I want to go travel. So I had to take a leap. I had to take a calculated risk. And so I, you know, like I said, I quit my job. I spoke to, you know, I did my homework. I researched where I'm going, but I spoke to other people who did the same thing. And I realized when you have to go after something you really want to do, there's always going to be that scary risk. You have to have nerve about it. And so that's what the word Moxie means. It means nerve. And the first three letters of my name, J-A-H, of course, is Johanna. So I just put it together, Ja Moxie. I gotta have nerve. I instilled it into my name.
And I'm happy you did. I really am. I thought, you know, you really, like I said before, there's this easiness about you, but I can see the vibrance. I mean, you have a beautiful smile in the way that we can see, well, I could see, shall I say, that you're thinking it through. You're searching, you're thinking it through, and I think that's what's important. So I know that you're in China teaching English, but let me just ask you a quick question. Part of what this podcast is about women finding their soul's home. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you've ever been to a place where you felt that it was your soul's home, or do you feel like you're still on a path of discovering that? Or do you even have that desire? Do you feel like you have that yearning inside?
I definitely have that yearning, definitely. And I have two places that I've been that were super close. I don't know what I would call them, soul home sisters. I don't know, sister homes, I don't know. But the first place that I felt really at home was Cuba. And I went to Cuba when it wasn't legal. So I was in grad school and I snuck over.
Moxie!
I know. But it was so great that every woman should go. I mean, Cuba was like my first heart. I love Cuba and I have to go back. The second one, St. Kitts and Nevis. Because once I landed on that island, the people were so inviting and loving. It was almost like a second home, but it's not the sole home. It was close.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it though, St. Kitts and Nevis. I love them. But I believe perhaps my soul home may be somewhere in Africa or some island.
Okay. Well, you're still, you know, on the journey, as I say. And I'm sure that you will arrive. I really am. I believe it. I believe that for you. So we're going to switch gears a bit.
Okay.
You'll have to let us know what are Johanna's favorites.
Okay. So I'm going to start with, of course, China, of course. So I work at a university. So they have, they call them catinas, but they're cafeteria.
Okay.
So my breakfast is this steamed Chinese roll. And in the middle, they can either have minced meat or vegetables and tofu. So I'm trying to go towards the vegan side. I call myself almost vegan.
Okay.
That's the name, almost vegan, because I might eat a rib, you never know. I'm almost vegan.
So, and what's the name of the place again?
Well, this is it's on campus. So I'm at John Nong University and you can get it at the cantina. However, you probably can get it off of a street cart anywhere on a corner in China because they have a lot of street food here. It looks like a little dumpling. That's for breakfast.
Do you have a favorite spot that you like to go for lunch?
Definitely, but it's not Chinese. It's this Pakistani British restaurant, and it's called Lahore. The owners are awesome. They're a mix of Pakistanis and Chinese. Because I believe in order to do business in China, you have to have Chinese involved. So 50% are Pakistani from Britain and the other Chinese. And so the food is reasonable. I think all the students, all the foreign students travel to that restaurant and some cool risk-taking Chinese students go as well. The food is wonderful.
Okay. What's your favorite dish to get there?
I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it correctly. It's called aluk palak. It's basically minced spinach with potatoes, and you eat it with roti, and it's really good. And you can chase it down with the Pakistani tea.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, do you have a favorite coffee shop or a tea shop that you like to frequent and maybe people watch or something?
I don't have one. Oh, actually, I do. Cafe 85. It's different. Now, you know, when you may see something that looks familiar, and then when you taste it, it's totally different. So it looks like a European type of coffee shop, but it has an Asian twist. So beware, you may drink tea and at the bottom of it, it will be like these red beans.
Yeah.
Red beans. It's almost like a bubble tea, but instead of bubbles, you'll get beans.
That's cool. Some pastries and desserts are made from beans. So it's, I understand. And your favorite, say, casual dining?
Okay. My casual dining, again, it's not Chinese. it's Casa Zoe, a Tex-Mex place right here in Wuxi, China. The menu is extensive, yet it will have a Asian flair to it. So if you're used to getting chicken fajitas with refried beans and rice, please expect to have your beans to be half a teaspoon and your rice one teaspoon. Yeah, so don't look surprised. You will definitely have a half a teaspoon of beans, and I'm not exaggerating, and maybe a teaspoon of rice. and then you'll have a decent sized chicken for fajita.
Okay. It's definitely shaping up to be a very sort of multicultural, at least in terms of its gastronomy. It seems to be quite diverse there.
Yes, they're opening up to other cultures as far as their cuisines and their festivities.
Okay.
It's not as strict as you think it may be.
what is your favorite, say, bakery, dessert shop, places to get like nice little patisseries?
Now, China and their bakery, I tend to like walk through them and pick very carefully. The only safe thing that I can find for me is the chocolate covered donut. The thing with Chinese bakery is that it looks really good. I'm telling you, it looks really good. It's like a Danish, and you take a bite of it, and then there's a piece of meat in it. So I never heard of like a muffin with like pork in the middle, and then they add the Philadelphia cheese with it. So it's very risky with desserts here in Wuxi. I think they missed the boat on that.
Are there any places, like, say, for instance, like if you're going out, you want to have cocktails, like a cocktail or a wine bar that you've been able to frequent? Okay.
There's a little, an area called Na Shan Si. It's a G-rated version of the French Quarters, very G-rated. It's like church-rated version of the French Quarters, where you have stores and restaurants. You can look into and buy souvenirs and try different food. They also have little cafes and bars. And so you will find like a bar that's called Soul Bar. So of course they're gonna have R&B. And then there's another swanky bar called Ellen's. I like to hang out at that place. And Blue Marlin's, you can get all the food that you miss back at home.
Okay, so switching up to your favorite places to shop in terms of like your food stores, and are there any open air markets that you like to frequent?
Okay, some places that a person wants to check out so they can say, hey, I've been here. There's a place called Stuff Market. It's humongous. It looks like 4 and 5 hangars, but they're indoors. And you go inside and you can find anything. It's almost like a flea market, a huge flea market. If you want to actually go to a nice mall and buy some clothes that are well worth it, good quality, there's Coastal City Mall. You'll find your neighborhood Zara's there. any name brand international store you can find there. And there's another one called, I believe the name of the mall is called La Viat. It's the mall that's attached to the IKEA here. And I encourage any visitor, if they have the time, to visit, even though you won't buy any furniture or any kitchen equipment. I want you to see how different cultures interpret IKEA. It's amazing.
I'm a fan of shopping local, and as an artist, I'm a fan of supporting artists. Would you say that there are places that you go to support, you know, the local shop, the small, say, mom and pop shop?
Definitely. There is a place, and the name of it is Nanshan Temple. There's a Buddhist temple there called Nanshan Temple, but also there's an area where you'll see local shops where you will find paintings and art, jewelry, even incense, because it's near the temple there, that you get to appreciate the local art scene. Also, if you walk up the street, you'll get to go into the tourist area again called Na Shan Si. And you will also see really nice coffee and tea shops there, as well as small mom and pop shops that will have bookstores, souvenir shops, and paintings and art collections and galleries as well.
Could you give us a bit of insight and intel into all things culture, places to go, things to see, and how to go about doing so?
Okay. So where I'm from is, well, where I'm living right now is Wuxi. So if you want to find any information about this particular city, I will advise you to download an app called WeChat. It's the Chinese version of WhatsApp's And what you can do is you can Google a profile of this magazine called Wuxi Guide. If you download that or befriend that page, they can give you all the lowdown of what's going on. There's the Grand Opera building where they have all kind of festivals and theaters there and concerts. They also have a whole lot of parks here in Wuxi. The Chinese culture really, really embrace nature. And they may not be as outgoing as many cultures, but you can see their creativity through their art. Even their bridges, you can see how much detail they put into their bridges and the design of their landscape around the city.
Have you visited some galleries or taken in the arts culture?
Yeah, so I haven't gotten an opportunity to tap into the art culture directly. But what I have been introduced to is I'm going to call it a subculture in China. Mm. Where I was invited by one of my students to a Chinese hip hop concert.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had all forms of hip hop dancing, all the way starting, I don't believe this is hip hop, but they call it hip hop, starting from the 70s all the way to the present. The pop locking, the beatboxing, all of that. They studied it actually, and you can tell they try to perfect everything. And so they really embrace that, yet not really understanding the culture where it comes from, but to just embrace the art of it. It was really good to see.
That sounds like a hidden gem that I was going to ask you about. Like, what are some hidden gems?
Yeah. So being kind of sheltered, they don't really get the holistic idea of other people's cultures. They just get the surface part. So when I did go to the hip hop, I call it a concert because I couldn't figure out how that worked out. I was seeing Chinese with fake dreadlocks and have the urban look. But then when I walked up, their mouth dropped open like, oh my goodness, this is the real deal. It's so funny because they're more urban than I am, I thought. So yeah, it was interesting.
Sounds like it was. So I guess the next thing I'll ask is, if you had a visitor, what would be a great day trip, or what are some things that you definitely take me out to do and see?
I will definitely take you out to an old ancient Chinese city. They restore certain areas of the city of Wuxi, and you get to see how it used to be 100 years ago. So the buildings are really short and small, and they're all made out of concrete, and they have the stereotypical Chinese roofs with the tile. And you get to see the landscape of old China and see how beautiful it is, because it's always surrounded by some type of lazy river, and you have the Chinese boat, and it's just really beautiful.
So as a visitor, what would you say is a faux pas to avoid?
I would avoid getting offended by Chinese who may come up to you and just take a picture of you. I would just let it go. So where you go, no matter if you're white or black, actually, you will get some stares because they never seen anyone that's not Asian. A lot of Chinese have not seen anyone that is non-Asian. So if you're black, they're definitely going to look at you. And if you're white, they will look at you. But if you're white with blonde hair and blue eyes or red hair, you're definitely going to get stared. And so I wouldn't be taken aback. I would just put on my sunglasses and act the part. Just be the celebrity that you are.
Is there anything that I should avoid doing that may be offensive?
No, I think that there's nothing offensive you can actually do, because the country has so many people. Their culture is, if you don't get in, you won't get in. So if you need something, get help. People are actually are nice here. The problem may be is that they don't know your language and vice versa. And so they may just give you something that you don't entirely want. And that's something that you have to figure out how to tolerate. And if you can't tolerate it, stand firm and let them know how you feel. And then eventually, and I say eventually, they should give in. There's one thing I want to encourage foreigners is that some foreigners believe that you can go to any country and give them American dollars. In China, it doesn't work that way. I'll encourage you at the airport to just, transfer your money into RMB and download WeChat so it can help you navigate the city better. So American money doesn't work here in that way.
Okay. How does WeChat work? You said it's like WhatsApp, but it seems to have more capability or more features if you're using it to navigate the city.
Definitely. So this actually goes into the culture of China. The Chinese culture is pretty technologically advanced than American, actually European countries, in the fact that you don't really use money. You actually use phone applications to pay for things and to receive money. So your phone is very valuable. If you lose your phone, you can lose, a lot more than just phone. You can lose your access to your bank or whatnot. But I guess you should have a password to it. But if you do lose your phone, you really lose a lot. So with WeChat, I actually pay for food, groceries, anything with WeChat. And there's another application called Alipay. I just pay with my phone. You scan it, or they scan your barcode, and that's how everything is paid for here.
Well, that's been a ride. And I guess in order for us to know what's going on with John Moxie, we'll need to know how people can follow you or get in touch if they have any questions, if they're visiting and want to maybe reach out and see if you have anything to share. Not that you'd be open to complete strangers.
I can always be reached on Instagram at Ja Moxie, also on Twitter as Ja Travels, and you can catch me on my Facebook page, my original name, Johanna Sistrunk.
Okay, perfect. Well, it's been a real pleasure, and I really appreciate you spending time with me. Yeah, I really, and it's so fun, and I really appreciate it so much. And I'm hoping that we'll stay connected so that if ever I'm visiting or we cross paths in the world, we're now sisters. We're kindred sisters in travel,
Definitely.
Okay, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you found this local's perspective informative and even inspiring. If so, please consider subscribing to Loco using iTunes or your favorite Android podcast player. If you have any comments or questions or even a story you'd like to submit, please connect with us at loco.co, that's LOCAUX.CO. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.